method.
So the board concludes that the three references are not, quote, sufficiently interrelated.
Correct.
Now, in its reconsideration, it says, no, we didn't, you're wrong, appellant. We didn't mean that there's no, they're not analogous art. What does it mean that the three are not sufficiently interrelated, and how do we evaluate that? What's the standard of review? Is that a question of law or a question of fact?
I think it's a question of fact because it has to do with what the references actually teach. I think what the board was really saying is going back to the examiner's rejection was JP966 teaches everything except applying that method to a dental article. So as the board clarified, they were not saying that JP966 is not analogous art. But Sirona and the examiner had looked to these other two references and relied on their alleged similarity to the JP966 method to say that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have been led to apply the JP966 method to a dental article. As it turns out, the board correctly found that the examiner's findings with regard to those references were incorrect, that those processes in US 585 and 548 are really much more different from the JP966 method than the examiner had found. And I think that's where the interrelated teachings comes in.
Do you think it goes to motivation to combine? Look, these references are so different, one wouldn't have been motivated to combine them. Is that how we should interpret it? Because it's a strange basis for...
I agree. It's a strange obviousness rejection.
Well, it comes out of KSR.
It does.
And
in
KSR, the suggestion does sound, as Judge Moore pointed out, like they're talking about the motivation piece of it.
Right. I think the question here is whether a person skilled in the art would have been motivated to apply the JP966 method to dental articles. It's not a typical obviousness rejection, which you're looking to these other references to take pieces from here and there. It's not as if the first reference teaches everything except some widget, and then you have to go to the other reference to get that widget. The examiner and Sirona relied on these other references as a way, you know, to show that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have extended the JP966 method.
So why aren't they interrelated enough? I mean, if we're evaluating sufficiently interrelated, why aren't they interrelated enough? I mean, they're all dealing with color methods of coloring ceramics. One deals with metal oxide solution and the other deals with metal. So, I mean, there's a similarity between what's going on here, right, in coloring ceramics, and these call out, at least the 585 calls out, that you can use the same coloring process for dental purposes.
I think at a very general level, they do teach coloring dental ceramics, but the board found that essentially, because the 585, US 585 teaches that there's a method that can be used to color both dental and non-dental ceramics, that doesn't mean that every method that can be used to color, say, decorative ceramics could also be used to color dental ceramics.
Well, yeah, but is that really the analysis we put out? I mean, if it's a motivation to combine, there doesn't have to be certitude that it would likely succeed, but a motivation to at least try?
I think it's not really a motivation to combine the references. It's more of a motivation to apply the JP966 method to dental articles.
I thought the board was drawing the distinction between applying the coloring matter to the surface and using the pre-sintered ceramic material into which it was absorbed and then again fused. At least that seems to be a difference between the references and what this applicant is.
I see my time is up. May I answer the question? Yes, that was really the basic finding as to why the US 585 is so different from JP966, much more different from what the examiner thought.